Are you ready to excel? Excel with Dr. Gina's Radio Chat Live. We'll explore topics from family, religion, finances, health, healing, and transformation. Dr. Gina's platform is your springboard to excel. Transformation is just a chat away. Let's talk about it, family.
All right, all right, all right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. Hey, Marcus, how are you today?
Hey, Gigi. I'm doing good. How are you?
Fantastic. I'm super excited about our show today. It's day number 2. Woo-hoo! We are on air live. I'm so excited. Well,
yes, we
last Wednesday on the 2nd when we first debuted, I was so excited that I didn't even give us a chance to introduce ourselves. So for those that don't know me, I am Dr. Gina R. Prince, and I am a member of the gospel. I am also an author of Born Into Sin, Transformed Into Destiny. I am a health coach, a health enthusiast. So I do a lot of exercise and workouts, and I believe in wholeness and healing and becoming full in oneness. And I also am a blogger. So I write blogs. And, you know, I just am just a single mom. I'm 46 years old, and the Lord just laid it in my heart to actually, you know, start the radio show so we can all come together, iron sharpens iron, and network and help lift each other up, and just a platform for us to receive the healing and the wholeness and to be able to be transparent and to have fun with everything. And so it's just been an awesome ride. It, you know, for it all, I have my doctorate degree in theology and my master's in counseling. So I am certified to be able to counsel and be able to, you know, discuss certain topics. So I'm very excited about the opportunity. This is not, you know, just the ordinary platform. It's not just a, you know, normal, regular humdrum talk show. We are very lively here. We're very transparent, and it's loads of fun. So we're very excited about this opportunity. And the cool thing about it, right, Marcus, is that the callers get to call in the toll-free number and participate in the talk show. So this is actually something for all of us. It's not just about one person or two people. This is about changing the mindset and just about oneself, mind, body, and soul. We will be discussing health and children, relationships, marriages, you know, your spiritual walk, your divine purpose, and so many things we want to touch down with, because people aren't living their full life. And so, you know, they're living well in one area, but then they're struggling in another. So we want, you know, this is a platform for this, just the wholeness. So I'm so glad to have Marcus Langford on here with me to share the moment. He's been helping me as my guest co-host. Now this is the 2nd time, and I'm so honored to have him. And I've been knowing him for about 3 years, and we're like brothers and sisters. I mean, definitely soulmates for sure. And so we are ready for the show and ready to see what God is going to do with us. So, Marcus, please take the time to introduce yourself and let the people know who you are.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Marcus Langford. That's L-A-N-G-F-O-R-D, period. I, too, am a single mother of 4. And I had my 4th child last year. I'm just joking. I've known Gina for about 3 years. And just to let you guys know, I am, my past is architectural design. I'm a professional person. I too am a blogger. I blog mainly about, you know, things related to architecture, real estate, and interior design. And that's pretty much what I spend a lot of my time doing. I'm also very much a health nut. I'm a competitive bodybuilder, as many people know. And pretty much just like Gina, I'm all about, you know, positive living, positive action. And I feel like, you know, in this journey, we should all support each other to kind of move forward, you know, again, in a positive manner. So that's pretty much my story. I'm just not a whole lot of elaborate things to my life, but I try to stay as busy and as productive as possible. And Most importantly, I'm enjoying doing this this show with you. So thanks for having me on, as always.
Well, I needed a male's point of view. You know, yesterday, what was so funny is on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I do today's topics, and it was all starting in preparation for Dr. Gina's radio chat. The interesting thing is that I started today's topics on Tuesdays and Thursdays on the day that I blog, and the right. subjects that the Lord would have me to do just to get people to interact. And then all of a sudden, the opportunity for a radio show happened. And so it's just, and then it evolved into a television show opportunity. So just one step opened up these other opportunities. But first things first, and I'm as excited as I am about everything that's on the table, you know, what's before me right now is this radio chat. And I'm looking for it to like really grow and go forth into syndication. As you know, I think big, and you know, nothing is too small and nothing is too big. So, you know, all things are possible. But to go back to the today's topics, we started this on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I mean, it would be a full day. So I was like, oh my goodness, how are we going to get this conversation going on air for 55 minutes every other every other Wednesday? Apparently, we're going to have more days, and we're going to have more time. So syndication is something that is going to happen. I speak it into existence. But yesterday's topic was so good because I wrote the blog about I'm looking so good. I look so good. And it was about how women feel like their looks and their education and their credentials and all of these things, you know, their careers and financial status helps them, you know, get a man. And a lot of times they're feeling like they don't have a man. They don't have a man to satisfy them. And so they, you know, often wonder why they're single. And so I said, so when I wrote that and I posted that, I got a lot of response for that. But also in today's topic, I thought, okay, it came to my spirit. Why do women really want to be married? Why do they want to be married? Why do they think they should be married? And you even commented on there. I had a whole lot of men that commented on that topic, on today's topic. But it was only one woman besides myself that actually had a statement. And you even said, what did you say, Marcus?
I was like, you know, where the women at? Because I was like, who cares if the men think? This is a question that I thought the woman, you know, could share, you know, a little light on the subject.
And the thing about it is, you're so right, because all the men that were on wanted to hear. I think you guys want to know, really, why do women want to be married? I mean, because, absolutely. And I hope that, you know, our guest is coming on today, and he'll be on in a second. He's my pastor, Pastor Isaiah Long, and we're going to be talking about marriage, you know, from the perspective, biblical perspective, but also just, you know, about marriage. Why isn't marriage discussed as much or promoted as much or encouraged as much, and what's going on with marriage? And so, you know, one of the young lady that did respond outside of me, it was right on time because she actually did say, you know, well, why do men want to get married? And I'm like, wow, maybe we're just all confused. Why do we want to get married, well, maybe, men and women?
And perhaps that's another topic, you know, because it works both ways. You know, you can pose that women, you can pose that question to women. You could also pose it to men, because I'm pretty sure you'll get two different perspectives on it.
Oh, exactly. You know, and then it's like, what, you know, but like I've learned and I've shared, you know, before, I don't want to get too much ahead of, because I know we're going to be talking about it soon and he'll be on soon. I don't want to go too much into it without him, but it just really set up for today's topic. And so I'm very excited to have Pastor Isaiah Long on here. He's my pastor, again, like I said, at Baptized Believers. And he is, the church is on, Baptized Believers Church is actually on 7th Street in Brooklyn, D.C. And I'm telling you, it's always fire. when we are at together corporately, worshiping and listening to the word, it is a very, very blessed time in the presence of God. So he's just a man after, he just has the heart of the Father. The address of the church is 2801 7th Street, Northeast Washington, D.C. And if you want to check it out, please go on BeABeliever.org, and he will be on soon. Welcome, please, with me, Pastor Isaiah Long.
All right. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me, Dr. Gina.
Oh, man, I'm so honored that you are on here. I want to introduce you to Marcus. Marcus is on here. He's my guest co-host, so he's joining in with us as well.
What's going on, Marcus?
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Right, okay, good. I've heard so many great things about you, so I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say.
I think we all are. We all are, Pastor Isaiah. I was just telling Marcus how it was already kind of set up yesterday with today's topic and the blog, and it was about women, focusing on women and why did they feel like they needed to be married and why they wanted to be married. And so it was only one lady other than myself that responded. And we had these men that were like waiting, like they were like sitting by to wait to see what the women were going to say, you know? And then the young lady said, well, why do men want to get married? And I said, well, we're going to talk about this with Pastor Isaiah. And I'm so excited that it was already set up because people are interested. They want to know. So I know you've been married to First Lady Kamali, and she's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. How long you guys been married?
Well, we just celebrated on September 6th, our 7th year wedding anniversary. So it's been 7 years, and 3 years we were dating before that. So it's been a total of about 10 years that we've been together.
That is so amazing and exciting. They're so cute and so beautiful together. I mean, just the love. You can tell that they, you know, were. I asked Kamali, I said, I mean, were y'all matched? I mean, it was like y'all were just perfectly matched. Like it was like a marriage setup. You know how back, you know, what still some foreign countries still do those marriages, those setups. And I mean, you guys are so perfectly matched. And that was one of the statements that I had made yesterday, that God is the best matchmaker if we just wait on him to do it. But you guys definitely exemplify the love of the Father. And it's just so beautiful to me. I mean, when I see y'all, I tear up because it's so beautiful. Not the it's not so much that y'all are together. It's just the fact that it's because you all together. It's like you can see the purpose and the beauty of God in your marriage. So my question to you is, reading about Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis, is this the standard God wants us to exemplify for marriage, Pastor?
Well, I think that we see part of the standard for biblical marriage in Genesis. But there are also some other components as well. I mean, we take from Genesis chapter 2, the fact that when they came together, it was after man had discovered what his purpose was. And I think that's first and foremost, the biblical standard for even preparing yourself to be married. It must be after a place where man has already established, you know, who God has made him, what is his purpose, what is God's plan for his life. Because if you remember when we read Genesis 2, that the woman was created to be a helpmeet. But if the man doesn't know his purpose and his plan for life, what is she helping him do? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a lot of us, we see marriages struggle and things like that because, you know, there isn't a sense of direction. There isn't a sense of purpose. There isn't a sense of assignment. And so, you know, that's one standard. Another standard, I would say, taken from a different story, in Genesis is the standard of commitment. And I think commitment is really underrated in today's relationships. But if we look at the story of Isaac and Rebecca in Genesis chapter 24, one of the things that stick out to me from that story was the Bible says that when Rebecca, after the servant had went and spoken with her family and brought her back to Isaac, Bible said that when she saw him at a distance, she got off her camel. Isaac took her into his mother Sarah's tent. They became husband and wife. Then he loved her. And so what's interesting about that was, you know, when he took her into the tent, you know, they became husband and wife through consummation. Then the feeling came. So what it's teaching us is commitment always takes precedent over feeling. And,
yes.
And we, you know, we lose that, you know, and if we're talking about the, you know, the model for what God ordains as marriage, you know, we got to put more emphasis on commitment than we do feeling, because, you know, if we base everything on feeling will have you all over the place, but commitment will bring your tail home at night.
Yes.
When I don't feel it, you see, and so, you know, and so, you know, we look at that, and then the last thing that I was just thinking about too is, you know, as far as a standard, if you will, is the standard of communication. One of the things that's really killing marriages, or killing relationships, or killing the potential relationship, is the inability to communicate through verbal conflict. You know, we need to learn how to talk to one another. We need to learn how to communicate. We need to learn how to, you know, converse in the midst of adversity. You know, the Bible speaks on many occasions in the New Testament about having healthy communication. And we see also in Genesis chapter 11 the effect of when communication is broken. You know, because if we look at the story of the Tower of Babel, the Bible says that when they were communicating, there was nothing that they couldn't do. So they said, let's build a tower that goes all the way up to heaven, and they were going to be able to do it. So, but God said, I don't want them to be able to accomplish this. So what did he do? He confounded their language. He broke up their ability to communicate. See, when we can't communicate, we can't progress. We can't move forward. And so, you know, I think those are some of the things that just stick out of the top of my head as far as a standard of what God expects for marriage or relationship.
I couldn't agree with you more. I it's so much meat in this. I want to just stick to these questions because you're speaking so much truth. You know, because I can go in and all of that, and we don't have a whole lot of time, but I really want to hear this question. As far as women's role, I mean, a lot of people say Proverbs 31 woman, and people use that, you know, like it's nothing. I want to be a Proverbs 31 woman. When I read about Proverbs 31 woman, she's very committed to her role. She understands her position. She follows through. She's not quick to give up. She's very vision driven, purpose driven. What is your take on that? Is that the example for women to follow?
I think it is a healthy example to follow. There are many women throughout the Bible that we can glean examples of leadership, you know, examples of submissiveness, and that's not being submissive in a negative way. I think a lot of times when we hear that term, we think of it in the sense of being a doormat. But actually, you know, when Paul talked about being submissive, he was speaking to us about being meek. And if we understand what it means to be meek, Jesus talked about in the Beatitudes, about having meekness, and he was addressing Pharisees that were overly argumentative. So what it means to be meek or submissive is to not be overly argumentative. And so, you know, when we talk about the expectation of the role of a woman to be submissive, it's not saying that she needs to be a doormat or walked over, but, you know, sometimes we have a tendency to get into these discussions where we don't agree. And from a woman's perspective, I'm not a woman, but just from my experience, you know, we can have a tendency to be overly argumentative to make a point. And so, you know, when Paul says about not being to be submissive to your husband, he's mainly speaking about that type of issue. But I mean, one of the things that when I think about roles of men and women in relationships, I mean, I know the question was addressed to just women and what their roles are, but One thing I think is important for us to understand is the fact that there is a spiritual warfare fighting against roles in relationships. It's almost like the enemy is trying to reverse reverse roles that God has given and established. And one of the things that, you know, I've been kind of, you know, looking at, and I don't have, I'm not saying that I'm conclusive on any idea right now, but I've been just kind of just wrestling with the idea of the fact that, you know, in Galatians where it says that in Christ there's no Jew, no Gentile, no slave, no free, no male, no female, right? So in the kingdom, you know, there is unity, right? But on earth, the Bible says in Genesis 1 that he created male and female. So in heaven, there's no distinction. In earth, there's a distinction. But it seems as though the enemy is trying to reverse the roles. He's trying to create no distinction here on earth. So he's trying to create the distinction between male and women. I mean, man and woman. And then in the heavenly realms, he's trying to create a sense of a distinction where there was no distinction. That's why you got feminist movements that are saying God is a woman now, you know, and it's all types of craziness. God, I mean, the enemy is really fighting against the structure and the role of the house. I'm on a tangent now.
but you know what? That's what I'm saying. See, this is why I'm believing in syndication, because this is something that needs to be like every day. This is we only got so much time, but it's so meaningful, and that's why I'm so glad to have you on here, because that goes into. I just wanted to share briefly when you said that how God sees us as one and unified in the heavens, because.
Amen.
Skipping just an example of that is when I was praying for my son one day, and my son, the Lord said to me, he's like you. He's my son and you're my daughter. Mm-hmm. It's not to me. I don't look at him as he's your son. You know what I mean? So he was like, I want to have a relationship with him because I look at him as my son. And you're my daughter. Mm-hmm. So when you guys are together, you're both like my son and daughter. Do you see that? So it took me to a perspective of, oh my gosh, you know, it's a whole different way of looking at the order of things. And so I can agree with you with that as far as with the man and the female. There's none. And in the book of Galatians, I can see that because that was the example that he gave me with my son. And so, in other words, in a marriage, whenever we have an issue, oh God, it's so many things I want to touch on what you said. One of the things was when you said as far as there not being any distinction in the heavens. And this is where women have to understand about the meekness. I agree with you. The meekness of it all is the fact that, you know, when we have an issue, we do get emotionally charged up and want to prove our point and go on and on and on. Amen. I'll share something with the listeners. I will share something with the listeners now and why I'm so glad that God has placed you, Pastor Isaiah, and you, Marcus, because when I talk to you guys, even as sisters, and you guys being my brothers, and I'm talking to you, you guys will just shut me down, and y'all, I don't even think you realize it. And I'll be like, oh, okay, I'm going on and on. You know, but it's a training. Because sometimes, you know, as a woman, and it's no, I'm not, you know, ladies, I'm all for us, but I have to be honest of the process that God has taken me through to prepare me. When we take on that role and want to prove and go on, men are like, what's the point? Get to the point. Mm-hmm. We want to know.
Much.
It's just cut and dry. It's not all this in between and who looked like what and who said what. They just want to know what happened. They want to know what happened. Mm-hmm. They want to fix it. Or if they can fix it, they're going to fix it. If they can't, they're going to tell you what to do about it and move on. They're going to give you a suggestion and they're going to move on. It's very cut and dry. But we get so want to talk and talk and talk. And I love how. And Isaiah, you don't even realize it. And Marcus, you don't either. But I know when God is training me and I say, okay, I got it, Lord. I'm going on and on. I got to start cutting it short. So let me cut it short now and go on to the next point. The next point is I wanted to touch down on what you said is that when you said role reversals, it's so like a lot of women are so desperate now that they're asking men to marry them. They're not even waiting for a man to be ready and prepared. And I think of Boaz when Ruth's mother-in-law said to her, wait until the man settles the matter. Then he'll come back for you, you know, and we don't want to wait. We're so anxious. We want to try to fix it, throw hints, drop a line, drop a, you know, a note. We want to tell our friends to tell them something. We want to get all in the mix of it and not allow the process to take place as the man being the leader coming to get us and taking on us with the purpose, like you were saying earlier. They have to know what the agenda is. So,
amen. I think with what you just said is very, very key when, you know, we talk about the roles reversing and women kind of pushing an agenda. Let me just say it like that. And I don't mean it in an offensive way, but when women push an agenda and it's almost like, you know, we'll try to, or women will try to be the wife before they're the wife. You know, they want to take care of the home. They want to take care of the house. They want to take care of the man, and all of these things have their place. But let me share with you what I think that God is saying about that issue, because what it's doing is it's pushing one of the greatest spiritual attacks that we're facing in our season right now, which is this spirit of entitlement. If they're pushing that agenda, what it's doing in the mind of the man, It's giving him a false sense of entitlement. And a lot of times in our day, especially myself, you know, dealing with kids in school and things like that, you know, we always want to give that label of entitled to children. Children are so entitled in this, blah, 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 blah. But what God is saying, it's not just limited to children. This is something that's happening in the principality. This is something that's happening in the kingdom. And what's happening is it's developing this mentality of I want something for nothing, or I want a great return for the least possible investment. You see, and that's what's happening with our men. You know, it's funny. You know, when we look at Matthew 25, remember the story of the master with the talents who gave, he was going away on a journey and he gave one servant five, one servant two talents, and one servant one talent. But if we really look at that story, the master was frustrated with the third servant who he had given one talent to, not because he wasn't a good manager, but because he wasn't an investor, you see? And because he was a manager of what the master gave him. The Bible says that he put it in the ground and he saved it for when the master came back, but he didn't invest it. And what's happening is God is saying that we've got, as it relates to relationships, we've got many men that are good managers of women, but not willing to invest in them.
Yeah.
You see? And so I may have three or four, maybe two, maybe five. And I'm good at managing them, but where is the investment? You see, and because I've got this entitlement, I've got this thing where I don't have to invest when I get everything up front. Why buy the cow when the milk is free? That's what the old folks used to say. And so see, here's the danger with that. If we really look at this thing, biblically, investing connects us to kingdom. And why do I say that? Because investing puts us in a mindset of faith. It's pouring into something that I don't see, but I'm doing it because my advisor, the Holy Spirit, told me to do it. You see, and that's investing. See, we ought to be managers of God's resources, His kingdom, the things that He gives us. That's ministry, managing the kingdom, managing the resources. But when it comes to relationship, God is looking for investment. And we got a lot of men that are willing to manage women and not invest.
Wow. Pastor Isaiah, I mean, did you want to elaborate on that, Marcus?
No, I'm just listening.
Listen, I'm telling you, you are hitting it on the nose, because that is so Amen. Been such a revelation for me in the last 11 years. The managers, and I love how you broke that down and the not investing. It's not a sacrifice. It's no sacrificing. It's no putting oneself away, or you know what I mean? It's just not investing Amen. Of their time and their mental and their emotional. emotion. And these are the things that women connect with. They connect with that. And even though they manage, they're managing a lot of unhappy women, which is causing a lot of frustration. It's not like it's a pleasant role. The manager's role of unhappy people is not a great position to play. And this is why a lot of women, like you were saying, I wrote this down as one of the questions, is that it seems like women are so naturally nurturers that they're becoming wives before they even get picked up. Like, I mean, as far as in a dating role, they're cooking and they're cleaning and they're washing clothes, and some are intimate, and they're doing all these things and they're giving them themselves as a wife without a proposal. And so the warfare in that is so crucial in the spiritual realm, because once we lay down that, we allow for the enemy to just go and take forth. And this is why all of these soul ties are being, and this is a whole nother level, these demonic soul ties are happening, and women are emotionally damaged. They go from one situation to another situation and not allowing themselves to be healed and allowing God to really show them their true value and their worth, which ultimately it's not that you're waiting all day and it's no resolution or no restoration. You're waiting for God to bring you before someone who has sacrificed for you. Like we talked about the one that, oh God, I can't think of his name, that worked for 7 years Rebecca. Yeah. And he worked for 7 years. He sacrificed himself. He sacrificed himself and was willing to do whatever it had to take to get his wife, and ended up marrying the sister, and then turned around and worked another 7 years to get the one that he wanted.
That's right.
Boy, you are talking some truth.
And this is why, I mean, just to put it very succinctly, if a woman or a lady performs marriage duties before the marriage, then there is no need for the marriage. And in that case, the enemy wins, because his end all be all is to discourage, distract, destroy marriage. And why does he want to do that? Because marriage is the only institution that God established and ordained on earth that reflects the relationship that he has with the church. That's how we see the relationship God has with us on the earth. Anytime God wants to reveal something that's spiritual, he's got to present it in a way that's physical that we could see, i.e. the word becoming flesh in John 1:14, that we might behold him. We couldn't understand God while he was in heaven. That's why we couldn't get it right. So God had to present himself in a way that we could see in the form of Jesus, a physical man. So anytime God is ready to reveal something to us that's spiritual, he has to present it to us in a way that we can tangibly see. That's what marriage is. It is the reflection of a spiritual covenant, spiritual relationship between God and man. That's why the devil is fighting it so hard. That's why he's trying to kill it, because if he kills it, he perverts the image of what Christ is to us. That's why the whole role reversal and all that other things that we talked about, entitlement and all those. And I mean, we talked about things that scratch the surface. I mean, this thing goes deep. But that's why the spiritual attack is so heavy against marriage, is because it's the only institution that God established on earth that reflects his relationship with the church.
It's covenant. It's everlasting love, the way he has towards us as his bride. I agree with you more. And you already answered the question, why are men asking women to marry? Because women are already married. They're already acting as wives. You already mentioned about the consummation of marriage when they went in the tent and they were married, you know, they got married, you know, it was consummated and they were together from that. So, I mean, that's where all the soul ties and emotional stuff comes in. But why isn't marriage discussed as much and promoted on the pulpit, Pastor? Why? And I'm not talking about you, you know, specifically, because you do what God leads you. But I'm saying overall, it seemed like it was a time where marriage was so talked about. Have we shied away because of the numbers of divorces or the numbers of falling short as in leadership? I mean, what's going on?
I think, you know, you just hit it on the nose where you said, you know, a preacher should be, you know, led by the Spirit. So messages follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know that as well as I do.
Yes.
Now, I think also with the Holy Spirit leading us, the Holy Spirit will definitely lead us to a place of sensitivity, in the sense that, you know, if we get into a pattern, and this is something that I just thought about without, you know, being conscious of it in sermon preparation before. But if we preach, y'all need to get married, right? When we've got 75% of the single women sitting in our churches that want to be married, and they're not single by choice, how insensitive is that? You see, I mean, I would just imagine myself if I was single and I had a yearning to be married, but I felt like every Sunday it was being addressed that, like, it was almost like something was wrong with me for not being married. You know, I think, I mean, I know that's one perspective, but I think that the Holy Spirit leads us to be sensitive about, you know, the messages, the messages that we preach should be uplifting and encouraging and building and developing and not discouraging and tearing down. And I think that, you know, with the culture that we live in now, where the majority of our churches are filled with women, and then a lot of them might be single women, it may not be the most pressing agenda for the kingdom right now. Not saying that marriage is not pressing. I think marriage is relevant, and I just, you know, 5 minutes ago discussed why. But I think as far as preaching the message to people that are already at a place where it's like they're yearning for it, and because I don't have it, it's almost like I'm doing something wrong. I think that the Holy Spirit kind of leads us in another way.
I agree with you. And you know what? That was what the question was yesterday. Why do women want to get married? And then the young lady asked, why do men want to get married? I think once God deals with us individually on divine purpose and the whole motive of marriage, his perspective, his will for marriage, rather, not his perspective, but his will for marriage, I think once that, I think it will be more. I think right now, anything, any leading of that will just create, to me, I feel like wants us healed. I feel like this is the whole message is about salvation and getting back up and really, really just getting in a closer relationship with him. I think the whole thing about, you know, feeding into our flesh, especially design a mate, I think is just, to me, I just feel like I can see why God has not allowed that to really be discussed as much, because people are having a hard time dealing with their own selves. And God wants us healed in a lot of areas within ourselves. And he wants to be our provider, and he wants us to look to him as our superhero and, you know, in our way maker. Yes. And not look for man or woman to be the fix it, you know. And so I can see that. But that was one of the questions that I kind of felt like.
Well, can I address that? Can I address that question from yesterday? Why do men want to be married?
Yes.
Well, I'll address it, you know, by saying this: why do men want to be married, or why aren't they asking women to marry them? The answer is men do want to be married. And they are getting married spiritually. And why do I say that? Because in God's eyes, marriage is not identified by ceremony. It's identified by consummation. And so in God's eyes, and because anytime a covenant is established, it's always established a certain way in the kingdom. And so how do I know that men are getting married? Remember the story with John, Jesus and John 4 with the woman at the well? And Jesus said, go back and get your husband. She said, I don't have one. He said, yeah, you got five. Everybody that you done slept with, he said that was her husband.
Right.
So men are getting married. They're not having ceremony. They're getting married. They're not having ceremony. So the question, do men want to get married? Yeah, they get married. They just not walking down the aisle. And if women, I hate to put this on them, but it's about accountability. If women would make it a little tougher,
difficult,
men,
yeah, I agree
then
with you.
Then it would be a little bit more urgency to. But see, this got to be this can't just be, you know, a few women. This got to be across the board, because what happened is you get these women over here that are holding themselves and then and this handful over here is loose, and they're going to walk over here to the ones that's loose.
They're going to go on and go over there.
We got
Priscilla online. She has a question. Priscilla?
Yes, ma'am. Hi, how are you?
Hey, Priscilla. How you doing?
Hey, Marcus. How are you, Dr. Hunt? Quick question. So you were talking about roles of a woman and things like that. Concerning Corinthians 14:34, what's your thoughts on that? About women being silent in the church.
What does it say? Read the scripture.
Hold on, give me 1 second. Sorry. Okay. It was talking about women being silent in the church. Like I attend a church where the pastor does not allow women to preach in the church. So they're having situations where they're wanting to vote him out. So I was just trying to figure out what your thoughts were concerning that.
I mean, Pastor, I guess this is directed to you. Pastor Isaiah, do you have a thought about that?
Well, sure. I do. The actual text in that verse, and I believe it's also mentioned again in Timothy, where it says that a woman should not usurp authority or teach in the church. I think that we have to look at the context in which that was taken. We live in a different cultural context from that verse and from that at that time frame. And so we have to apply the principles of what it's saying versus the literal words that's given. And I think it speaks a lot more to what we talked about 5 minutes ago as far as, you know, being meek and being humble and submissive and things like that. Now, as far as preaching, you got to be careful with that because preaching is nothing more than proclaiming the word of God. And so, you know, if a pastor will let a woman sing a song that's proclaiming the word of God but not let her preach, you know, it's almost like a contradiction. So you got to be careful with that.
And my take is on that is that, you know, you feel like God is leading you to in some kind of direction of teaching and whatnot, just stay in prayer and, you know, see what the next move would be for you as far as where you need to be, where you'll be utilized. A lot of times people will try to go into ministries and, you know, not intentionally, but if the structure is not matching what they feel like they are called to do in the body of Christ. And I'm not saying, you know, always that get up and leave, but just pray about it because God will give you the peace to either remain there until a change comes. It could be for you to pray a change through, or it could be for you, you know, maybe that's, you know, you got to find out why you were there in the first place. But I do agree with Pastor Isaiah when he said that as far as it's a contradictory there. And it's a lot of men that feel that way and they go by that scripture. But I personally, as you know, used to be an overseer of Gospel Truth Ministries, I believe in the full gospel. There's no parts that is, you know, as far as, you know, I don't take out parts and utilize it for this or that unless God is telling me this is the format of this temple. That he does give instructions for each temple. If you read in the New Testament, you talk about Ephesians had their set of rules and things that God had, you know, set up through the apostles, and also in the book of Corinthians they had their own, but it was structured to abide by what was going on in that situation. Some pastors I have learned, you know, will just utilize it to their own opinion or their views or the traditions or whatever. But, you know, like I said, take everything to God and he'll definitely lead you and, you know, guide you and instruct you on what to do.
Okay, thank you.
You're so welcome. Well, Pastor, I alone, my pastor. Okay. I am so glad that you were on. You were absolutely fantastic. Marcus, did you enjoy him?
I did. Very much so.
Do you have any comments or questions before he goes?
I have no questions. My only comment is just that thank you for sharing the knowledge. I mean, it's obvious that you're a man of God and that you respect this order And I respect any man who respects his order. So thank you very much for coming on to the show and sharing everything that you know, Pastor.
Amen. To God be the glory.
Pastor Isaiah, you stayed on a lot longer than we intended. I kept telling the producers to keep you on longer and I'm so glad that you flowed with it, because I just really, I underestimated the meat of, you know, this can go so far, you know. And just, you know, talking to you has always been a joy, even off the air. But my thing is, I just wanted to say to you, is there anything you want to tell the listeners before you go? Any meet, anything that you want to share? Your website, your any dates or anything do you want to share with the listeners?
What I would share is this, as it relates to this marriage topic, as it relates to what Sister Priscilla had, you know, a concern for, I just would remind people that the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. So follow the Spirit, follow the Holy Spirit, and we can't go wrong.
I couldn't agree with you more. Please go on. If you're in the D.C. area, please come and visit Baptized Believers Ministry and hear the worship, hear Pastor Isaiah bring forth that fire, that word. He is actually, the church is in Brooklyn, Northeast, Washington, D.C., 2801 7th Street. And if you want to go on the website, it is BABelieVer.org. Please check him out. He is awesome man of God, has the heart of the Father. And I'm just so honored to be a part of the ministry and so glad that you can join us on Dr. Gina's radio chat. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Amen. Well, y'all have a good one, okay?
You do the same. Have a good day, Pastor.
All right.
All right, Marcus, nice to meet you. All right.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
That was amazing. Wasn't it amazing?
That's a great call, Pastor. He knows what he know.
Yes, he does. I mean, so what? I know you were kind of quiet. He didn't shut you up, did he, Marcus? Because you normally ready, got stuff to say.
Oh, no, you know, I was just, I'm just listening. Because, sometimes that's what you got to do in order to learn something. And he said some things that just were, you just got to hear it, you know. I appreciate so much of what he said. And just his perspective on things about marriage and people's, you know, men, the role of men and women. Because I agree with you and him both. I mean, that's been a definite change in the roles of men and women, you know. And, it's not old fashioned anymore. I mean, people are kind of just doing, it's like some type of new modern family, you know, no pun intended, but that's what it's like, you know? So it's good to, you know, talk to somebody that I consider to be a little more old school with their principles on, you know, the principles of marriage and what it stands for and the roles that men and women have. So, yeah.
I so agree. I mean, because I could relate to that. And a lot of people don't. I mean, because it's a lot of struggle with that, even in ministry. I mean, you know, with women. And it's just so it's such a demonic pressing that makes you feel like when you're under the fire that it would be better if you was with someone, or, you know, it would be better if, you know, of course, if you were married, things would be a lot easier. And yeah. And you need that covering. It becomes like a desperation of it will feel better. And even a lot of women in ministry feel like, you know, even if they haven't gotten totally delivered from intimacy, you know, having sexual encounters and relationship during, mm-hmm. you know, the role of being a minister. Mm-hmm. You know, so my thing is, for the last 12 years, I have learned a lot. A lot of things, like I said, as a woman in ministry, I learned a lot about the Word of God and how it applies to us as leaders as well. I've learned how the pressures of things, or even not even just the pressures of today and the demonic warfare, but also the things that lay dormant that I didn't even know was still there, you know, because at the time of getting into ministry, I was married. And then I got a divorce from my husband at the time. You know, he went out the marriage and that was the decision that we had made. And, you know, God allowed it to happen that way. And not every marriage happens that way, but mine ended right that way. And so with that being said, you know, I didn't realize, you know, that I had these emotions and stuff, you know, still going on. You know, I didn't know
that I had feelings and things that I had to work through to literally come to a place of worthiness and literally come to a place of position. And I think that's the thing. We have to be willing to go through the process and not worry about how long it's going to take or if it's ever going to happen, but be thankful in the presence and that relationship of God. I had to repent before early on in my walk because I didn't realize how close I was with God. I was so focused on wanting to be married in the right way, you know what I mean? Because of getting a divorce, you know, he wasn't walking with me. So I wanted to get married to somebody who, you know, I was equally yoked with and I can be intimate with and be the wife with, you know what I'm saying? Come on now. I'm just keeping it real. And I had to, and that yearning and that desire became anxiousness. And I would connect with people that wasn't even lined up with me and had to learn that, you know what, I'm causing more warfare on myself by allowing to stand still and waiting on God. And so I had to repent and realize I had a better situation, just me and my father, than I did, you know, than I realized. I mean, I could hear from him. He shows me visions. He's very close to me, but I was pushing him because I wanted a human. Do you understand what I mean? So I had to literally go through the process of deliverance. And I hope that this is helping women out there because honestly, you know, like Pastor Isaiah said, and I couldn't agree with him more, there's no reason to pop the question if you're already married intimately. If you're already married by sexual encounters, what's the point? And I love how he put that, and this should help every woman out there. You know, men can manage multiple women, not just you, but manage multiple. Okay, listen to the words from the prophet, and you're gonna prosper. Now, he said, if they can manage, but it's the investment. And that's the thing that keeps frustrating us because we know the difference between management and investing. And because we're yearning so much for the investment and the sacrifice and not getting it, it frustrates us and damages us emotionally. So if you don't want to deal with that anymore, my suggestion is go through your process, allow God to deliver you, get intimate with God. Be close to him, allow him to be everything to you. And I'm telling you, you're going to see the difference in your walk.
Amen.
I mean, I can only be transparent. I tell you, thank you so much, Priscilla, for calling in. I'm so glad for all the listeners that listened in again. I'm so thankful for our special guest. And I'm so glad, Marcus, that you were able to be guest co-host again. And I just appreciate this opportunity. This message is so apparent. And we will go on into Thursday's today's topic. And I'm sure that we'll pick up from some of this and close it out. But like Pastor Isaiah said, it's so much meat to this. I mean, with you, Marcus, how do you feel about men with marriage? Do you agree? Obviously, you agree with Pastor Isaiah because you haven't said anything. Is there any example? I mean, you just quiet over here.
Yeah, because there's not much to say. I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm listening to him. You know, he's been around here longer than me. So,
y'all the same age. I think he's younger than you.
Really?
Yeah, he's a young man.
I need to get on his level then, because you know he sound older than me. He got a whole lot of knowledge. He sound
He's wise. He's wise. Yeah. I think he's younger than you, brother.
Speaking like a 60-year-old man. Shoot. No.
Yeah, Pastor Isaiah, he got that wisdom. God has given him much wisdom. Again, I really encourage anybody in the DC area to go to Baptized Believers Church. It is 2801 7th Street, Northeast Washington, DC. And again, tell your friends, tell everybody about Dr. Gina's radio chat. I'm so thankful. You guys, we got to get this thing syndicated because we got more interesting and exciting guests. This thing is just we need more days and we need more time. So again, we're looking for this to be picked up because this is a huge thing and we want to expand it. We want some other things. God has been giving me some great ideas for the show. And you know, if we get like a time where it's 4 hours, there's so much more that we can do, I tell you. But right now, I want you guys to call in. I want you to tell your friends about it. If you got any commercials or anything, please, again, inbox me on Facebook or go to www.drginaprince.com. Email me at drginarprince@gmail.com. And we can go ahead and discuss opportunity for you to be able to have commercial time with your business and etc. But I just want to say this to you. Remember that you have to live your life on purpose. You have a purpose. You have a reason why God has placed you here. And so I just want to say this. Just live your life. Live healthy. Live whole. Live in destiny. Loving you, Dr. Gina. Thank you so much for being on. Aren't you happy, Marcus?
I'm very happy. Thanks for having me on. It's always fun.
It's always fun. It is always fun. It's always fun. So this is our new thing. Live healthy, Marcus. Live whole. Live in destiny. Loving you.
I got to try to remember that for next time.
Yeah, you got to remember. Live healthy. Live whole. Live in destiny. Loving you, Dr. Gina. I'm so glad. Until next time, we'll be on the 30th. And I got another interesting guest. And Marcus Langford will be with us on that day as well. Woo-woo. Can't wait. Can't wait, you guys. This is going to be exciting. Until next time, loving you, Dr. Gina.
Remember, God wants excellence from us. You can't achieve excellence unless you first excel. Please join us live on Dr. Gina's radio chat every other Wednesday, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Central Time, and 8 a.m. Pacific Time. Until next time, loving you.